Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on our voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. Our guest today is a long-term friend of Slidell, Dr. John Pat Galloway, a psychotherapist, a friend of many, just a blessing in my life. We've been friends for way too many years to tell you about. Been all good years, and I appreciate Dr. Pat. Glad you're here today, Pat. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bob. We're going to make it sound like we're old.
Well, nobody will know that but us. We've talked previously about the subject of addiction, and before when we talked about it, we kind of talked about recognizing addiction, what it is, and where it stems from, it being that it stems from some sort of anxiety in our life that we try to use our addiction as a means of trying to cope with this anxiety, be it fear or inadequacy or whatever it might be. But it's a much bigger subject than that. It's not just knowing that you got it, but being able to deal with it in a profitable way. And I was wondering what your thoughts might be on helping us to understand better, where do you go? Okay, I've got an addiction now. What do I do about it?
You know, that's true, Bob. We got to figure out what we're going to do with all these things in our life that we use to get away from being ourselves and being attached to what we're doing right now. There was a book written that we have to stay in the precious present, knowing what happened in the past and living in the past and knowing what happened in the future, or think we know what's going to happen in the future. That gets us in trouble. So we have to stay in the present. What happens to a lot of us that cause anxiety is we begin to think about what we did in the past that we labeled as being bad, or we think about or we predict what's going to happen in the future, which may or may not occur, and it creates an emotion. For example, my mind was described to me by my ex-partner, Bill Weedorn, who was an analyst, as being like going to a horror movie. I could think about the most horrible thoughts in the world, and they might not ever occur. So if we stay in the present, that doesn't happen. Now, what do we use in our life to get us comfortable when we don't stay in the present? Some people use food. Some people become what we call obsessive, compulsive. They get rituals that they have to go through, like your car has to be parked in a certain place, your house has to be decorated a certain way, you have to have a shirt pressed, you have to wear whatever the ritual is you go through. Everybody around you has to go through this ritual. If not, you're sure something bad's going to happen. So you live in a constant state of anxiety that everything's not going to go right. Or we begin to be people that blame other people for what's going on with our life. We look for something, or we get maybe on a computer, look around to see what's happening. Then we get addicted to hitting the keys. Then we get addicted to finding out what's going on somewhere else. You mentioned earlier about being at a Christmas dinner and seeing everybody on their cell phone, and they all think they're at Christmas dinner together, or you go in a restaurant and everybody's on their cell phone tapping. They're not together. Everybody else is somewhere else within their mind. These are addiction processes that we set up to deal with something. And it's ever so slight. You're not really aware of it. Let's say I've done something to you that I'm not really proud of. So I can do two things. I can avoid you completely, not come around you. Or I can come around you but be occupied to the point where I don't interact with you. So I might daydream, do something else to distract myself. But I'm not with you. But I could say, I'm with you, but I'm not. We do that with our kids. But we set up a process that it's not even comfortable for us. So as a therapist, I get you to become aware of what you're doing. What are you doing to make yourself uncomfortable? You're getting involved in behavior that's addictive, or you're getting involved in behavior that's not what God wanted you to be. When you look around you, and I look around me, God didn't give me this cell phone so that I can distract myself from the other people that are driving all around me and maybe getting an accident. He gave me the cell phone so that I can contact you and say, do you want to have lunch? How are you doing today? How's this going? Or whatever. That's why I got this cell phone. If I want to find out how you're doing, I don't have to go to Facebook and see what you posted. But the best way to do would be to go see you, see what you're doing. And what do you do when you see somebody? You're getting out of yourself. You can see them. You can touch them. You can feel them. You can see their inflections. You don't do this any other way. So that's what we're doing. We're setting up addiction process so that not for the other person, but so that you don't have to deal with yourself. Something about your interactions making you uncomfortable, or you perceive it that it's going to make you uncomfortable. Now, there's another way you can develop a habit. It takes more discipline. And we do that, or I do that, through my spiritual life. The scriptures that I've read tell me that I'm supposed to spend so much time every day with God. I'm supposed to read the scriptures so I know how to behave. That same scripture doesn't tell me that I'm supposed to do this 24/7. That same scripture doesn't tell me that I'm going to go to heaven if I'm on my knees all day long. That same scripture tells me to be aware of what other people need, what I can do for somebody else. That's another ball game, because then you're moving from what makes you feel good, maybe being on your knees and telling God what you want Him to do. And rather than getting on your knees and saying, God, I'm going to sit and listen and you tell me what I'm supposed to do today. You and I used to have another process. I think I remember you sharing this with me one time. Bob and I used to figure out what we wanted God to do for us today. And then we sent Him a message to that effect. And then we set about helping Him do that in our way. We didn't listen to His game plan. And we laugh about that now because it seems so stupid. That doesn't mean you got to leave everything to God. What that means is that you have a game plan and you decide, this is what I'm equipped to do today. And you lay it before God and He tells you how to go about doing it.
Well, I think a lot of times perhaps some of these anxiety producing activities would be trying to live up to other people's expectations. God's gifted each one of us individually. You've got gifts, I've got gifts, the people that we know and love all have God-given gifts in our life that are important to accomplish what God called us to be. But a lot of times other people will tell us what they think, not what God gifted us to be. I'm thinking that this causes anxiety if we try to be a people pleaser, try to do what other people think we ought to be doing, rather than trying to use the gifts that God gave us in a good and a positive way. And I suspect that that part of our anxiety, which maybe it'll lead to an addiction, I don't know, but part of that anxiety and displeasure with ourselves is because we know we're trying to become something that we ought not be. We were overseas in a communist country for about 10 years. There was a lady in our church who was a gifted pianist. She took lessons, but she was just gifted at it. It's amazing to watch her do her thing. But the communists that year felt like they needed veterinarians. But they sent her to school, and she became a veterinarian. What she had studied, what she had learned was somebody else's expectation, and the reality of what God gifted her to do was left unused. And it caused a lot of frustration in her life until she realized she could probably do both.
There are a number of people doing that today. The number of people that we feed from Slidell that drive to New Orleans, drive back in the night, and maybe they're coders or maybe they're presidents of banks, whatever they are, but they're fitting into a mold. They're thinking that they have to do this for their children, for their community, to achieve a certain goal. And maybe that some of that's true, but what you hit on is really what's really important to me. I might make enough money to live on by doing the things that in a way that God has given me to do them. Now, how am I going to know that unless I try them out? Sometimes we have to make big breaks, scary breaks. Some people have to do it slowly. Some people have to do it day by day. And changing or breaking an addiction, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a long period of time. And there's not one person that can do that for you. There are a lot of people that can go along with you for the ride, and there are a lot of people that'll do it. But you have to eventually take that step by you, what you appear to be by yourself. But my acceptance of Jesus Christ has led me to believe that I am never alone. I do not feel alone. It doesn't mean that I'm not scared from time to time, but I am never alone anymore. Now, when you think about that, Bob, that for me is that's a beautiful feeling. I never had that before. I never had that feeling. That to me is worth everything in life. I am never going to be by myself. If I'm never going to be by there myself, there's not much I can. If I could do something with you and I could do it feeling Jesus' help. He's with me. He don't ever leave you. And I don't know, what does that have to do with addiction? Addiction addicts have a process of wanting to feel independent within themselves, not depending on anything or anybody. But it's a paradox in that the addict becomes dependent upon some object or some process. The very thing that you don't want, you become dependent on. I like to think that we need to get involved in a process that's positive. And the process of understanding my Christian spirituality keeps me away from using objects and keeps me away from using processes and endowing them with power that they don't really have. I mean, how can me straightening out my clothes, having my car extremely clean, How can that make me have a better day? Why wouldn't it be better or just as good for me to dress comfortably and have my car reasonably clean and think about Mary Jones down the street and do what I can to throw her paper in her yard closer to the door because she can't walk out to the front, or walk somebody's dog because they can't get out of their house to go walk the dog through the neighborhood? Those are the kind of things that bring us peace, comfort. I'm doing some hospice work now. I never thought that I would like being around dying people. All my life, I've worked to make people's lives better, feel better. Now, I'm seeing something else. Death is inevitable. It is not going to go away. We might postpone it. So to deny death is like denying being born. I'm learning from these folks. First of all, they begin to become aware of the fact that they're dying or that their body's going away. It's not as scary as it used to be. And these addiction processes that we set up help us to avoid things that we perceive as uncomfortable. And that once we get into it, it's not necessarily uncomfortable.
Listening to what you're telling me, I believe that the addiction itself, physical addiction, be it food, drugs, alcohol, can be quickly addressed. But the root cause of changing our thinking and seeing life in a different light, that takes a little time. It takes a friend, it takes a little time, and it takes a new focus in your life, not on yourself, but a focus on the lady down the road who needs the dog walked, and the paper that needs to be picked up, and the kid that needs to be picked up from school, and when you can help out. That just helping other people and loving other people, that's an important part of the recovery process. Not just the physical, well, I don't do that anymore. If you don't walk into a bar, you probably won't be drinking in a bar. You can fix that pretty quick. But to get that thinking change, it takes time, it takes help, and it takes a refocusing of your life. So to think this is going to happen overnight, it's not. But to find somebody to walk with and to take Jesus Christ with you when you go, or better yet said, to go with him as he guides you through your life, is really the answer to addiction recovery.
That's a good point. I used to think, well, I had quadruple bypass surgery. Scared me to death. I knew my mortality. It's 20 years ago. I asked a priest to come in and see me. He came in. He says, well, I said, I just don't feel God. I don't feel God's presence. He said, well, you need to do something about it. And I said, well, that's why you're here. You know, you're supposed to help me with God. He says, okay, God's with you. What are you going to do with him? And that's really true. He doesn't ever leave us. We leave him.
Exactly.
And all we got to do is say, hey, I'm sorry. Can we get back on the right track? And he says, you know, I've always been here and I always love you.
That's right.
And that's what the addiction process, you're trying to be God yourself. And we don't do a very good job of being God. We really don't. We'd like to think we do. At least I do.
Sure.
I like to think of, I never will forget the experiences you and I had. We dreamed about owning our own jet, our own yacht. And when you think about it, wasn't it much more pleasant to think about that than the fact that neither one of us could pay our bills at that time? Neither one of us could do whatever we were doing? But to have to think about that reality, that's not where we wanted to be.
That's right.
So we did something else to think about something else. And that's what people do. I can do it right now. Not going to worry about it tomorrow till tomorrow gets here. And that's what these addiction processes do. You got to face reality and face where you, what you said, growing up. Just growing up. Yeah. And you grow up not by yourself, but you grow up with Jesus. Jesus taught us so many things. You can't grasp them all at the same time. It takes a lifetime, because you might read the same scripture today, and if you read it tomorrow, something else is going to come out of there and hit you right in the face, and you'll think, why didn't I see this before? Same way with life. You can go into the same room and not see the same thing. And if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and you're aware of it, it'll be different. If you're aware of the fact that you're eating a loaf of bread a day and you're eating too much ice cream and you're wondering why your stomach's fat and you're looking for a pill to do it, that's not going to happen. You got to face what you did. Nobody wants to do that. They would rather continue to do something that's making them comfortable right now rather than try to have to change. They don't think they can do it. Deep down, I knew I couldn't quit drinking. I had tried over and over and over again. And then when they said, you're going to have to be saved, you're going to have spiritual dimension to your life, I tried that. I used to go to church every Sunday. I preached. I didn't know how this was going to happen. But what I did was open myself up to it, because I had no other alternative. None. Every door was shut. I was losing my friends. I was going to lose my work, everything. And it was all because of something that was stupid. I didn't think it was stupid, but I didn't want to acknowledge to myself I was anxious, fearful, and uncomfortable. And once I did that and started going with it, that fear and that anxiety propelled me to start changing, doing some different things. That's what addiction, that's what the process is all about.
Well, you know, the words that you're using right now, just what's stirring in my heart is the word hope.
Oh, yeah.
There's hope. That even for those who are listening, if you're caught in a trick bag, you feel like there's no way out, you're losing your friends, you're losing your job, you're losing things around you, you do not like the person that you become, yet the word for today is there's hope. There's hope. Maybe tomorrow you can begin to cure some of the physical signs of maybe not taking a drink or maybe not having the drugs. But you can also know that there's one who walks with you, Jesus Christ, who got you by the hand. It's not a matter of inviting him into your life, but being able to accept his presence, which has never left you. He's been there with you the whole time. What an encouraging and a hopeful word from you today, Pat, to those who are listening, and to me, an encouragement to me that, hey, we're in the right track. We're not done yet. We have not reached perfection, but we know who perfection is, and we walk with our hand in his hand as he takes us down the path. Outstanding. Pat, is there anything else that you'd like to say to us today, to our listening audience?
There's a physical manifestation to that hope. After getting away from my drug and alcohol addiction, I was driving down Galls Boulevard, and for once that I had never seen Galls Boulevard like that. It was extremely bright. The whole road was brighter. The sun was out. I had never seen anything that bright in all my life, and I knew something different was taking place within me. It's beautiful, and it never stopped. Never stopped. From then on out, that gray crowd was gone. That's a physical. It's almost like Paul's road to Damascus experience. And I haven't met anybody, if they didn't look at their life, that didn't happen. It happened.
Found a new place, and that Jesus Christ is the center of that new place. Well, Pat, that's wonderful. Thank you for talking with us today. This has been yet another wonderful 20 minutes with you. We really appreciate the time that you've given us. And I hope that you'll allow us to come back and talk to you again on addiction or perhaps whatever other subject the Lord has for us.
Thank you, Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment, send us a text, or any ideas or thoughts you have on reflection on today's interview. We'd love to hear from you. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can leave a comment and keep up with things going on here in the station and around Slidell. Or we'd like to hear from you on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-free gift to help support the station. Programming like this is supported by people like you. We appreciate your gifts and look forward to many years of being able to contribute to the community as we do. And again, you can call us at 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Join us again on Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.